is Daf is Daf Vav. So we got to the very last line of Daf Hey and Beis. The Gemara now gets back to going through the Mishnah. The Mishnah had a machlokus between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. What is considered the age of chinuch when it comes to a katan? So Beis Hillel said that if the child's able to hold his father's hand and walk up, that's the age of chinuch. And Beis Shammai felt that if he's able to ride the shoulders on the father, which is a lower, younger age, that would be chayv according to Beis Shammai. So asks the Gemara now, last line of Hayim Beis, that Eizu Katan Kol Sheino Yachal Lirko Al Ksefo Shel Aviv. So that's the sheet of Beis Shammai. So Maskela Reb Zeir asks the question, going on to Davav now, Ad Hachan Mane Asi. But up until this point, who brought the child? Meaning, from the bottom of Har Bais to the top, so the father would have him ride on his shoulders, or hold his hand. But who brought him to the point of the bottom of Har Bais? So answers the Gemara, Amr Le'abai. Abai says, Ad Hacha, the Mechayv Ema B'Simcha, that the mother is Chayv in Simcha, I see Se Ema, that the mother brought the child to the base of Har Bais. Mikan Ve'elech, from that point on, Im Yachal Alos V'Le'echos B'Yadlo Shel Aviv Yushalayim L'Har Bais. If the child is able to walk holding the hand, according to Silel, of the father from Yushalayim to Har Bais, he's Chayv Ve'ilo. If he's not able to, then he would be Potter. So we see from here that the mother brings him to a certain point in Yushalayim, and from that point on is when the father schleps him up, either holding his hand or putting him on his shoulders. So just look at Rashi. Rashi writes here, Ad Hachan Man Asya, Ad Yushalayim mihevil. Balo mishu yachal yos chutz mi'imo yachal lechos biyado aviva. De chedei aliyah mi'yushalayim l'harbayis ata omer shiachenchu. V'yad Yushalayim mihevil. So just he explained the question. So it's the mother, because the mother, as Rashi says, the mother's chayv in simcha, machayva b'simcha. Lalos l'rego l'smoch b'chag im baila. The mother is required to rejoice in the simcha of yantiv with her husband. V'yal simcha nitztavu nashim. Women are chayv in the midst of simcha. Even though the part of the mitzariah, they are chayv in the midst of simcha. Therefore, they have to participate, at least being in Yushalayim with their husband. So the mother brings it to that point. From that point on, it's the father who brings him up to Har Bais. So then the Gemara says, Hey Shiva, Rebbe, Tachas Beis Hillel. Rebbe, in place of Beis Hillel, standing in the corner of Beis Hillel, asks the following question, the Divrei Beis Shammai. V'chana lo also, Achana did not go to Alila Rego. Ki Amra Leisha, she said to her husband, Ad Yigmal Hanar, until I wean my son Shmuel, V'yaviyosav, and then bring him up. So she said, in other words, that Shmuel, her son, was busy nursing, and he wasn't able to go up to Har Bais for the mitzvah of Alila Rego. Asks the Gemara, V'ha Shmuel diyachal lirkov akseifo shel aviv hava? So according to Beis Hillel, we understand why Shmuel's pater, because he wasn't able to walk holding the hand of his father. But according to Beis Shammai, who holds that as long as you're able to go on the shoulders of the father, which is a pretty young age, you would be chayv. So Shmuel, at this age, apparently was able to go on the shoulders of his father, so why was he pater in this case? It's a kasha to Beis Shammai. So Amar Lei, Avua, you say back to Avua, to this referring to Rebbe, L'talmech, according to your svara, Tikshelech Chana Gufa. Okay, so granted, maybe Shmuel did a shaila on Shmuel, what age he was he old enough? But what about Chana? Chana, wasn't she chayv to go up to perform, to be involved in the mitzvah of Simcha? So says the Gemara, Misa Miloch Mechayva, B'Simcha, is she not chayv in Simcha? Ella, the reason why Chana was pater was because Chana, Mifan Kusa, Yiseirasa Chazia, Baby Shmuel. She saw that Shmuel was very sensitive, he was very delicate, and she was concerned, V'chashu Baby Shmuel, L'chulsha D'orcha. She was concerned that Shmuel was going to get sick along the way. So since Shmuel was pater because he wasn't strong enough to go up, even though, yes, physically he was able to go on the shoulder of his father, but in the end of the day, because of the travel, may have caused him to get ill, so he couldn't go, and since he needed someone to take care of him, obviously, so Chana had to stay home as well. So this was an exception as to why Shmuel was pater. Now, an interesting question they ask here, but this whole idea of a katan going to mitzvah alil rego is only a mitzvah of chinuch. Chinuch is only a mitzvah midrabanan. So at the times in Nevi'im, chinuch didn't exist yet, so how could they even talk about Shmuel being chayv or not? Certainly Shmuel as a katan was pater, so some say, Taka, you're right. From the times of Shmuel and Chana, there already was a mitzvah midrabanan of chinuch, goes back to this time of Shmuel and Chana, Enoch and Ami. That's how some suggest. That's the answer of the Netziv answers this question. Now there's another answer they suggest in the name of a Netziv elsewhere. The Netziv has this chiddush based on the Rambam. And although in general, the mitzvah of chinuch is only a mitzvah midrabanan, the Rambam says, or it sounds like, when it comes to the mitzvah of alila regel, chinuch is actually a mitzvah deraisa. So you're right, in general, chinuch is derabanan, and it may not have existed yet the time of Shmuel Chana, but the mitzvah deraisa of chinuch by regel, that did exist from the times of the Torah, and certainly by the times of Shmuel and Chana, and that's how some say that they were chayv and chinuch in this case, but since Shmuel was pater because he was ones, he was ill, or at least he was subject to get sick, therefore, he would have been pater.
And the mitzvah was to Shiloh?
It's supposed to Shilat Tam. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Right. Now the Tree Haven asks another interesting question. There's a patur of another. We'll see. The Gemara in Pesachim actually says one of the paturim of those who don't have to go to Alila Regar are those who don't have property. Ein lo karka is another patur. It's not a Gemara in Chagiga, I don't think. I think, but it's a Gemara in Pesachim. If you have no property, you're pater from the mitzvah Alila Regal. So that's why a child should be pater. Children have no property, so shouldn't that be another reason as to why children are pater? Forget chinuch, forget all these other details. They don't own property, so that's why they should be pater. So Turevin says there are two types of turim when it comes to Alila Regal. There are those that are inherently pater because they're a child or because they're a chiger or they're a shoter or the cherish. And then they're the external pturim. So the external pturim, like not owning property, is not intrinsic to who they are. That type of external type of pturim would not exempt a child. So a child would be chayv. That would not ruin their possibility. So therefore, ein lo karka would not be a pturim that would apply to a katam. If a katam would be a chiger or a shoter or a cherish, or he would be a chola, these would be intrinsic pturim that would apply to katana. So now the Gemara says around 10 lines down. Boy, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon asks the question: a katan chiger ledivrei beishamai. What's the din? Beishamai again holds a child who could go on the shoulder of the father's chayev. Let's say the child can't walk properly; he has a bit of a limp, but he doesn't need to walk. He has to go on the shoulder of the father. So would he be chayev according to Beis Hillel? According to beishamai. According to Beis Hillel, he certainly would be pater a katan chiger because a gadol who's a chiger can't walk, so certainly a katan chiger, he can't walk holding his father's hand. But what about according to Beis Shammai, that all you have to do is go on the shoulder of the father, would you be chayv according to Beis Shammai? And furthermore, the suma, the divrei shneim mahu, what about someone who's blind? So he can hold his father's hand, even though he can't see, or he can go on the father's shoulders going up, would such a katan be chayv or pater according to both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai? So ask the Gemara to clarify the question a bit further, mahu. Hey chidami, what's the case here? Ilema b'chiger, if it's a individual who has a limp that can never be healed, or suma shenu yachol ispateach, or a blind person who can never get his eyesight back, hashta gadol pater katan mibay. If a gadol is pater as a suma, a gadol is pater as a chiger, the enu yachol ispateach kal v'chomer a katan mipater. So that can't be the question, Ella. But the question is latzicha b'chiger sheyachol ispateach. Now, as a young child, he has a limp, but he can get he'll get healed. He'll get stronger when he gets older. Or a suma, shiachal is paseach. Or a suma, although now he has no vision, but his vision will come back. So that was the shaila mai. So Amar Abai says, kol heicha the gadol mechayv mideraisa, katan nami mechanchilei midirban. Whenever a gadol is chayv in a deraisa level, so then we apply the same exact chiv to a child. So v'chol heicha the gadol pater mideraisa, but when a gadol would be pater, like these cases, a gadol who's a chiger, even though he's going to be lespashi, or a gadol who's suma, and even though he's yachal is paseach, in the end of the day, a gadol and that current state is pater. So memela midirabanan katan nami pater. We'd also exempt the child on the level of chinuch, and therefore these cases he would be pater. Look at Rashi just for a fascinating definition of the nature of chinuch. Rashi writes around a little bit less than halfway down the lines here. Katan mibay. Halo ein chinuch katan ella kedei lahanhigo she sarach acher minhago lichshiagdil. The whole idea of chinuch is to accustom the child to get, it should be regulated in performing mitzvahs. So that's the definition, which means there's a big machlokas rishonim. Do we say that children are chayiv midirbanim? That we say that child is chayiv on a dirbanim level to do the mitzvah? There's a current chayiv now. We change the age from 13 to, let's say, 10. Or no, there's no chayiv for the child at all. We're just trying to get him, accustomed to, regulated to do mitzvahs, but there's no mitzvah right now, it's just to l'ragil. So Rashi here, and Rashi Masech HaSukkah, point out it's l'ragil to accustom the child to doing mitzvahs, but not that there's a real mitzvah right now that we change the age. There's no chiv right now, it's just to accustom them. And there are some nafkaminas that exist. So how do the details have to be in terms of performing the mitzvahs? So if you say that they change the age from 13 to 10, then the same exact details as a 13-year-old would have to apply to a 10-year-old. But if the point is just simply to regulate the child, to accustom the child, then there might be some wiggle room how much we could change. Now, Mikra, then we say there can't be any changes from the Derais halachas to the Chinuch halachas, but there are some examples. For example, a child, when it comes to the mitzvah of lulav, if there is no lulav that he could own, we could give him a shaul, a borrowed lulav on day one. Even though for an adult, we can't be yotzei a lulav shaul, when it comes to a lulav shula, when it comes to a katan, we would say there's a heter to allow him to use a borrowed lulav. Even though deraisa, we don't allow it, their child we do allow it. So there's some wiggle room if you assume it's to regulate, to accustom the child to be in the presence of mitzvahs. Back inside the Gemara now. Gemara says halfway down the page. Hariya Shtei Kesef. So we had another machlokas at the end of the Mishnah. How much does one have to pay for the carbon? So Beis Shammai felt the carbon Hariya Shtei Kesef and the Chagiga is a Meya Kesef, and Beis Hillel flipped it around. So Beis Shammai felt you pay more for the carbon Hariya, and Beis Hillel felt you pay more for the carbon Chagiga. So what's this machlokas? So the Gemara explains, Tani Rabbanan, based on the Braisa. Beis Shammai Omrim Hariya Shtei Kesef v'Chagiga Meya Kesef. Why? Shariya Ola Kulo Lagavo. Because there's a certain chumrah, or a certain stringency, a certain severity, that the riyah, the entire carbon gets burnt up. We know an ola, a riyah is a type of ola, olas riyah, it's kulo kalo, the entire carbon gets burnt up. That's a certain chashivas of the carbon, so therefore it requires more money to pay for. Ma'ashen kein b'chagiga, as opposed to chagiga, which is a shlomim, which means people partake in it, they eat from the chagiga, so it's a lesser level, so you pay less money for it. V'od. The second reason why Beis Shammai felt you pay more for the olas riyah, Od matzino be'atzeres shiriba behen akasav be'olos yoser mibishlamim. When it comes to the atzeres, when it comes to the yantav shuas, there are more olos brought than nav shlamim, which indicates that olos are more important. So therefore, you have to pay more for the olos. Those are the two reasons of Beis Shammai. Comes along Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel argues. Beis Hillel omrim, no. Hariya me'akasav chagiga shekasav. We pay more. We pay double for the chagiga. Why? Shechagiga. Yeshna lefnei hadibur, because the carbon chagiga existed prior to Kabbalah Satara. They brought shlamim in the midbar before they brought before Kabbalah Satara. That's the end of Parsha Meshpatim. If you just look at Rashi, Rashi writes Yeshna lefnei hadibur. Kode matan Torah, says Rashi, hekrivu shlamim b'Sinai dechzevayishlach esnarei b'nei Yisrael. They brought karbonos before Hakadosh Baruch Hu actually spoke to them and gave them the Torah. So since it predated the Torah, that shows a certain chashivas of the shlamim of chagiga. And moreover, he says, Amashen came b'riyah. Riyah only existed after Kabbalah Sadara. The second reason, says Beis Hillel, Matzino b'nesim shiriba b'hen akasav b'shamim yoser mi ba'olos. When it came to the carbon nesim and Parshas Naso, the nesim brought more shamim than olos, which indicated that shamim perhaps are more important than the olos and deserve more money. So that's the machlokas. Two reasons for Beis Hillel, two reasons for Beis Shammai. So now the Gemara analyzes. Beis Hillel, my time, alo amri ke Beis Shammai. Why did Beis Hillel not embrace the reason of Beis Shammai, the Ka'amris Ri'iya Adifa, that the reason of Beis Shammai that felt Ri'iya was more important because the Ola Kula Legavah, because the Ola gets completely burnt up by the carbon, it's all Hashem, which indicates a certain stringency. Adirabba, Chagiga Adifa, says Beis Hillel, Chagiga is greater than this Beis Shtei Achilos, because there are two people participate, both HaKadosh Baruch Hu and men participate in the eating. Wouldn't that indicate there's greater Chashivas to the carbon Chagiga? Now this, by the way, is a general machlokas in Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai throughout all machlokasim almost. Beis Shammai always is focusing on the Shemayim, and Beis Hillel always focuses on Ba'aretz. So here you have a Kadosh Baruch Hu who eats kulu kalil. It's a Shemayim type of din that's more important according to Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel says no, but the fact that man eats it also, isn't that more chashiv? The Gemara Chagiga we're going to see in a few days, how was the world created? So Beis Shammai says first Shemayim, then Aretz. And Beis Hillel says Aretz and then Shemayim. So then we see there again, Beis Hillel focuses on Aretz always. Beis Shammai always focuses on Shemayim. So this seems to be a similar machlokas to how he placed the focus, the emphasis on Shemayim versus Haaretz. The Gemara then says further, "V'deka amris, that which you said, Beis Shammai, nilaf me'atzeres, that we should learn from atzeres that there were more olos on Shavuos done in carbon yachid mi carbon yachid vein done in carbon yachid mi carbon sibur." We're talking about an olos riya and a carbon chagiga. These are olos. These are carbonos yachid. You can't derive a carbon yachid from the atzeres, which is a carbon sibur. It's a completely different category. So for those two reasons, Beis Hillel rejects the svaras of Beis Shammai. So now flip the table, flip the Naran. Beis Shammai, my time, Allah, Amrika, Beis Hillel. Why did Beis Shammai reject the two reasons of Beis Hillel? So the Kamer is that which he said, Chagiga Adifa, the Yeshen Lefnei Adibor, that the Karmel Chagiga predated the Kabbalah Satara. Ri'iya Nami, Yeshen Lefnei Adibor. There was also an Olas Ri'iya before Kabbalah Satara as well. So we'll see where that is. They brought an Ola, but we'll see that just to hold off that point just a second. So therefore, that neutralizes both the Chagiga and the Ola Ri'iya predated Kabbalah Satara according to Beis Shammai. And secondly, with the Kamras Nilaf Minasim, that you Beis Hillel wanted to learn from Nasim that there were more shlamim by the Nasim, Danin Davar Hanoeg Ladaros, Midavar Hanoeg Ladaros, Vein Danin Davar Hanoeg Ladaros, Midavar She'en Hanoeg Ladaros. You can't learn from Nasim. Nasim was a one-time carbon. That wasn't Ladaros. You can't learn things that were Ladaros. Atzeres is Ladaros. That's for generations to come. So that was more comparable to the Olas Ria and the Atzeres as opposed to the Nesim, which was a one-time event. So for those two reasons, Beis Shammai rejects Beis Hillel. So now the Gemara wants to understand this case here. Beis Hillel, Maishna Chagiga de Yesh Lefnei HaDibor, how come Beis Hillel said Chagiga predated Kabbalah Satara before the Dibor, that they brought Shlamim before HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke in Har Sinai, Re'inami Yaksiv, it says by their Olos Ria, Vayalu Olos, in that same pasuk, they also brought Olos at the Kabbalah Satara prior to the Dibor. So Gemara says, Kesavri Beis Hillel, Olos Shekrivu Yisrael Bemidbar, Olos Tamin Havet. That Olo that was brought was not an Olos Re'ia, it was an Olos Karban Tamid that they bring every day. That's not Olos Re'ia. Yes, they're both Olos, but different types of Olos. So there's a machlok, is that those Olos that were brought, were those Olos Re'ia or were those Olos Atamid? Beis Shammai said they're Olos Re'ia, and therefore they were prior to the Dibur as well. Beis Hillel says those were Olos Tamid, and you can't bring me a Raya to Olos Re'ia. So Beis Shammai, however, argues in Savri, Olos Shekrivu Yisrael B'Midbar, Olos Re'ia Hava. So that's a very important machlok, Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, what those Olos were. Were they, again, Olos Re'ia, or were they Olos Tamid? So now the Gemara says, let's take it, this is actually a much wider machlok than we would have thought. So Amar Abayi says, Beis Shammai, Rabbi Eleazar, Rabbi Shmuel, Kulu, all three of them, Sfirlu, Ola, Shekrivu Yisrael B'Midbar. That Ola that was brought in the Midbar was an Olos Re'ia Hava. That's one corner. Ubeis Hillel, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Yosef Glili, cool of those three hold, Srielu, Olah Shekrivu Yisrael B'Midbar, Olos Tamid Hava. So there's a big machlokas what those Olas were. Were they Olas Re'ia or were they Olas Tamid? And the Gemara is now going to prove to us how we know how each person holds Olas Re'ia versus Olas Tamid. So Gemara says, last two lines of the page here as follows. That Beis Shammai Ha'ad Amrin, we just saw above how we know Beis Shammai holds the Ola that was brought was an Olas Re'ia. What about Rabbi Shmuel? How do we know he holds was also an Olas Re'ia? The Tanya, the Braisa says that Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Klolos Nemru B'Sinai. There were general principles that were laid out at Har Sinai, but not all the details. Just the general Klolos, missing many of the details. That's Rabbi Shmuel's understanding. And the Pratos, all the details were filled in later, but all Moed after the Mishkan was built. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu filled in the gap, the details of how to perform various mitzvahs. Rabbi Kiva Omer, no, he felt Klolos U'Pratos Nemru B'Sinai. All the general principles, along with all the various details, were all said at Har Sinai. Nishnu ba'al moed, they were repeated a second time at al moed. Nishtalshu, they were repeated a third time. Barvas moav, so basically Rabbi Kiva felt, Pratos and Klolos were mentioned. Rabbi Shmuel felt only Klolos were mentioned at Kabbalah Satara. Now, these Hakadatik of you would have thought that according to Ola, Shekriva Yisrael and Midbar, Olas Tamid Hava, if it's true, this is according to Rabbi Shmuel, that if you felt that the Ola that was brought at Kabbalah Satara, at Har Sinai, in the Midbar, was only an Olas Tamid, not an Olas Re'ia, Olas Tamid. Now there's a special din, that by an Olas Tamid, you have to skin the animal and cut up in different pieces. So, and according to Rabbi Shmuel, only Klolos, only general principles were said, but the details were not stated. So what happened was, Mi Ika Dimi Kara Lo Bay Hefshit Mi Tuach, that initially, when the Olas Tamid, Tamid was brought initially, so they had only the klal, bring a tamid, but they did not have the details yet of skinning it and chopping it up. So initially, you didn't have to skin it and chop it. The nituach uvasof in the end, by hefshiv nituach in the end, you do have to do this. Meaning, according to Rabbi Shmuel, that the tamid was the initial carbon ola that was brought. All we knew at Kabbalah Satara was the general carbon shechting it. We didn't know nituach v'hefshit until the Mishkan was put up later on. So there were a year or so whereby they were bringing the carbon tamid without nituach, without hefshit v'nituach. That's a big change of how it used to be, how it is a year later on. So it must be that the Olas Re'ia was brought, and that did not have this detail of the hefshit v'nituach in order to keep a certain consistency. Again, so based on this klal Rabbi Shmuel, that only klalos were said at Har Sinai, he must have assumed that the ola that was brought was an olas Re'ia, because had it been an olas tamid, there would have been a big difference of how it was brought at Kabbalah Satara versus how it was brought when the details were learned later on at the Mishkan. That's how we deduce from Ishmael that it must therefore have been the olas Re'ia that was brought. So then the Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar, how do we know he holds also that the ola that was brought was the Olas Re'ia? The Tanya, the Braisa says, by the carbon Olas Tamid Hasuya B'Har Sinai. So this was Olas Tamid that was brought at Har Sinai. What does that mean? It was made or brought or fashioned at Har Sinai. Rabbi Elazar Omer Maaseh Nemra B'Sinai V'Hu Atzma Lo Karva. That the Olas Tamid, although it was given to us, we were commanded at Har Sinai, only the details were told, or the Asuya, the mitzvah, but we actually didn't bring it. The Hakrava wasn't until much later on. So which Ola was brought earlier? Must mean that the Olas Re'ia was brought at Kabbalah Satara. Rabbi Kiva responds back and says, no, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Karva, Veshuv LaPascha, not true. When it says, Olas HaTamid HaSuya B'Har Sinai, that we describe the Talmud as being given at Har Sinai, not only was it given, but they also were makrivit at Har Sinai, and never did it stop at that point. So this machlokas, Rabbi Elazar versus Rabbi Kiva, whether that Ola was a carbon Talmud or was an Olas Re'iyah. But we see, either way, we see clearly from Rabbi Elazar that he felt it could not have been the Olas Talmud, it therefore must have been the Olas Re'iyah. Elamani Mekayim, what do I hold the pasuk? It says in Amos, this is a pasuk that's said in a tema. As Rashi says, Hazvachim Mincha Gashim Liba Midbar Bam Shana Beis Yisrael. Did you bring me karbanos in 40 years in the midbar? In other words, you didn't bring karbanos in 40 years. So how do they understand the pasuk? Rabbi Kiva felt they brought the carbon tamid from Kabbalah Torah for 40 years. How could Amos question? How come you didn't bring karbanos for 40 years? So there's a stira. Did they bring karbanos or did they not bring karbanos? And says Rabbi Kiva back. Shifto shall Levi shall avdav odazara hey nekivu oso. So based on this parsha that Levi was not involved in cheda egel, they were the ones who brought karbanos. When Amos said, "Did you bring karbanos for 40 years?" He's referring to the rest of Am Yisrael. You guys sinned. You were involved in the cheda egel, and therefore you couldn't bring a karbon for 40 years. Einachnami, they couldn't, but Sheva Levi were able to bring the karbanos, and they did bring it. And from the Kabbalah Torah, they brought an Olas Tamid, and never stopped from that point on, according to Rabbi Kiva. Either way, we learn from this brisa that Rabbi Elazar felt that the Tamid was not brought earlier; it was only the Olas Re'iyah that was brought earlier. So we just proved that 3 points here: the Beis Shammai, Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Elazar all hold that they brought the Olas Re'iyah already prior to the Dibur. So then the Gemara says, what about the other three that felt that the Ola brought earlier was actually the Olas Tamid? So Beis Hillel had the Amram. We just saw earlier that he felt that only the Chagiga was brought prior to the Dibur, but Olas Re'iyah was not Kodem HaDibur. Which Ola was Kodem HaDibur? That was Olas HaTamid. So that we saw Beis Hillel on Amud Aleph. What about Rabbi Kiva? Honami Damar, we just saw in the Bryce above, Rabbi Kiva versus Rabbi Elazar. What was that Ola? Rabbi Kiva said that Ola was actually the Olas Tamid. So what about now Rabbi Yosef Glili? Where do we see that he holds that was also an Olas Tamid, not an Olas Re'iyah? So Rabbi Yosef Glili Omer, Shlosh Mitzos, Nitztavu Yisrael, Balosam Leregel. There are three mitzvahs that we're all commanded to perform when we go to the mitzvah of Lila Regel. Re'iyah, the Chagiga, the Simcha. Yesh B'Re'iyah, Shem B'Shneim. Yesh B'Chagiga, Shem B'Shneim. Yesh B'Simcha, Shem B'Shneim. Each one is unique that the other two don't have. What are they? And he elaborates. Yesh B'Re'iyah, Shem B'Shneim, Sheh Re'iyah, Ola Kula Legavo. The carbon Re'iyah gets completely burnt up. No one participates in it other than the Mizbeach itself. Ma'ashenkin B'Shneim, as opposed to both the Simcha, Shalmi Simcha, and Shalmi Chagiga, the Adam also participate in eating the carbon. Yesh b'chagiga ma'ashen ke b'shtayim, she'chagiga yeshna lifnei hadibur ma'ashen kein b'shtayim. That the chagiga predated Kabbalah Torah, as opposed to Simcha, and Olas Re'iyah did not. So if Olas Re'iyah did not predate the Dibur, which Ola did, it must be that the Olas Tamid was before the Dibur. That's the Raya that Rabbi Yosef Glili holds, like Beis Hillel and Rabbi Kiva, that there was the Olas Tamid before the Dibur, not the Olas Re'iyah. And finally, just finish off the Brice here, Yesh b'simcha ma'ashen ke b'shem. Simcha is unique as well. She'a simcha no heges b'anashim u b'nashim, that it applies equally to men and women. Ma'ashen ke b'shem, the chagiga, and the mitzariah do not apply to the women. So now the Gemara goes back to Rabbi Shmuel Shita just for a moment. The Shmuel, who we said above, held like Beis Shammai, that the Ola prior to the Dibur was actually the Olas Re'iyah, not the Olas Tam. So asks the Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel, my time... For what reason, Rabbi Shmuel suddenly he goes in the camp of Beis Shammai? We never hold like Beis Shammai. So why is he suddenly coupled up? Rabbi Elazar, we understand. Rabbi Elazar was a Talmud of Beis Shammai. He's called Shmati here, according to some opinions. He's referring to either he was placed in Shamta in excommunication. Others felt that he was a Talmud of Beis Shammai. So Rabbi Elazar, we don't have a question. Rabbi Shmuel, how could he embrace the Shita of Beis Shammai? So Isaac Adaitach, because if you felt that the Ola Shek Krivo Yisab Midbar was in fact an Olas Tamid Hava. So then you have the question, Mi'ika Midi Dimikara Lobay Havshet Vinituach, Vasob Bay Havshet Vinituach. So that was what was compelling him. Rabbi Shmuel was not compelled because Beis Shammai held this way. That's not why he held that the Olas Tamid, the Olas Re'iyah, was brought earlier. What was driving him was a different svara. Because if you held that the Ola that was brought in the Midbar was in fact the Olas Tamid, you have a Shaila. How could it be initially the Olas Tamid did not require Hefshiv and Nituach because only clothes were said at Har Sinai, but when the Mishkan was built and the details were filled in, now you have to change it to start requiring Hefshiv and Nituach. That's what really compelled him. Nothing to do with Beis Shammai. Happens to be he ends up in the same corner as Beis Shammai, but not because he was embracing the Shita of Beis Shammai. So that was his kasha. That's what really compelled him. So now the Gemara says, but wait a second. V'har Rabbi Yossi Aglili, he wasn't bothered by this problem. Damar Ola Shekrivo Yisab Midbar Olas Tam Nahava. Meikara Lo Boy Hefshiv Nituach Lasof Boy Hefshiv Nituach. Even though, you're right, even though initially there were only the calls were said according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, and even though initially the Talmud did not require Hefshiv Nituach, and in the end it did require, that didn't really bother Rabbi Yossi Aglili. It's okay to change the details. The Tanya, the Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, that Ola Shekrivo Yisob Ben Midbar, Eino Tuna Hefshiv Nituach. There we have clearly that when they brought the Talmud to the Midbar, it did not require the skinning and the chopping up of the carbon Ola's Talmud. That was only added in later on after Kamas and Mishkan. So why is that? Why was Rabbi Shmuel bothered by this? And therefore the Gemara says, you're right, Sami Mikan Rabbi Shmuel. Let's remove him from here. In other words, that svar is no longer, doesn't really bother us. So we're going to remove that, so that svar is really, again, on the side. And we're going to take off Rabbi Shmuel from the list. He's not in the same corner as Beis Shammai and Rabbi Elazar. He's actually like Beis Hillel's Shita, that the Olah that was brought earlier was in fact an Olah's Talmud, even though there was a change of Hefshiv Nituach, that really doesn't bother us. So now the Gemara says, last few lines of the Amud. The Pasuk says, at the end of Parsha Mishpatim, it says, Bar Rav Chisa, Rav Chisa asks the following question. Haikra Heichiksev, how does this Pasuk, how is it written, or how is it understood? It says, Vayishlach es nare bnei Yisrael, Vayalu Olos, I'm going to read the whole Pasuk first. The word kfasim is that part of the pasuk. Vayalu olos, vayizbechu zvachim shlamim la'ashem parim. So the pasuk says they brought olos, and they also brought shlamim. Now, which animal was brought as the ola? So clearly, for the shlamim, the pasuk says parim. There were cows brought as a shlamim. But it doesn't tell us which animals were brought for the olos. So is the word parim going also on olos? Or we're trying to add in another animal, kfasim? Maybe the olos were the kfasim, and the shlamim were parim? So that's what the Gemara asks the question again. Ksiv vayishlach es nare bnei Yisrael vayelu olos, and now we're adding in kvasim, and then vayizbechu zvachem shlamim lashem parim. So the olos were kvasim, some type of sheep, and the shlamim were cows. Oh, dima perhaps idi parim havu, or perhaps the parim is qualifying both the shlamim and also the olos. They brought cows for both the olos and shlamim. That's the shaila. The main afkmin, who cares? My dehavava, that was backed in Kabbalah Satorah. Who cares what took place then? So Gemara says it's very important because Marzutra Amar Lipusik Tami. You have to know how to read the trop, the different chops that one would say. Because if you're reading that the parim is going back on even the olos, you have to read it more continuously, whatever chop would be appropriate. But if shlamim and olos are different, you'd have to do olos and have a pause, and then parim is separate, going only on the shlamim. So there's some way you had to read it properly. Look at Rashi. Rashi writes the piece of tamim binigunos in terms of the trop. Im tomar shnei minim tzarech, if it's two different minim that the shlamim and olos were different, then tzarech atal lepisuk hatam shel vayalu olos besachti. If there's a vayalu olos and pause with a besachta, kemosh anu korim oso or bezakev katan, or another type of pause or slow interruption which implies a comma maybe, and tam she mafzik hadibur mimashal achrev vim min echad. If however the parm is qualifying not only shlamim but even the olos initially in the beginning of the pasuk, then you'd have to tzarech atal lekroso be'echad mishar tamim, one of the other ones, other chops shein mafzik, which do not indicate a pause or comma of any sort. So that's a very important how to read it properly. So then the Gemara says another nafkamina. Vacha brei, drava amar, liomer hare alai ola, k'ola shekriva yisrael b'midbar. If a guy takes a nether, you could always make any nafkamin up with a nether. So Gemara says, if I take a nether, I want to bring a carbon. Just like the ola that they brought in the midbar, so I have to know, what did they bring? Did they bring kvasim or did they bring parim? My parim havu or kvasim havu? And the Gemara ends off as a taker. We don't know how to read the pasuk properly. So let's quickly recap what we did today. We start off talking about that although the father takes the child up from Yushan to Arbayis, it's the mother's obligation to bring the child from the home to Yushalayim initially. Then we had the question about Chana and Shmuel, how come Shmuel was pater? And the Gemara says because Chana felt that Shmuel was too weak to go up, even though he may have been of age to go on the shoulders of the father like Beis Shammai, but since he was very weak, he was a chola, she was concerned he might get sick, so therefore he had to stay home, and the Mela she had to stay home as well. So again, we asked the question about what about a chiger, according to Beis Shammai, and assume according to both of them, are they chayv as a katan? And the Gemara says, whenever gadol's chayv, a katan's chayv, whenever gadol's pater, katan's pater. And since the gadol's pater as a chsuma, as a chiger, Mela the katan's pater as well. We had the machlokas, which you spend more money on, the chagig or the olos riyah. The shama says the olos riyah gets more for two reasons. One is because kula chalio, and kula gavoa. And number two is because they have a teres has more olos than shlamim. Basil says no, because the Chagiga was kodim ledibor, and because by this nesim they're more shlamim than olos. The Gemara goes back and forth how you could learn from one to the next. One interesting machlokas is that Beis Shammai Beis Hillel says that No, even though the olas kulo kolyel, but still chagiga shtei achilos, which indicates that there's more chashivas when man can eat from the carbon, and a back and forth, which one. Then we had a big discussion about which was the ola brought lefnei adibar. Was it the olas tamid or olas ri'iya? That we had in one camp, Beis Shammai, Rebbe Elazar, and Rebbe Shmuel, initially at least, that felt it was olas ri'iya, was lefnei adibar, no different than chagiga, but Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel rather. Rebbe Kiva and Rebbe Shaglia felt that the Ola was actually an Olas Tamid, and Olas Ria only came after the Dibor went through a different Tarayas. Then we had the Bryce of Yosef Lili, that Simcha, Chagiga, and Ria are all unique, different than the other ones. He went through all the different details. And then we felt Rebbe Shmuel actually retracted on his opinion. He actually is not on the same list, and he holds like Beis Hillel, that was actually Olas Tamid. And then finally we had the question how to read the Pasuk into the end of Mishpatim, whether the Parm is only qualifying the Shlamim or is also qualifying the Olas as well. Okay? Everybody have a wonderful day.
This the passage by